Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready? Let's go!
Now, from the IMLD home studios, in its ninth season, you are listening to, In Much Less Detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Your football party is live with your hosts, Jay and Dre. Welcome in, y'all. Good evening. Championship Sunday is tomorrow in the NFL. The NFC and AFC championships on the line. A lot of people said that they thought going in that the Bills-Chiefs game last week was sort of the AFC title game, and they sure played like it. We're barely recovering from that incredible weekend of football last week. We'll get into all of that and pick our games tomorrow, make our picks for that. Hot hour in and out, very quick football party tonight, so listen even closely and more carefully than normal. You are listening to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. We are here with you live on a Saturday night, January the 29th, 2022. I'm Dre, he's Jay, and man, what a weekend of football. We try not to have the hyperbole going. We abhor it when we see it, but it is really hard to not call that one of, if not the greatest weekends of football that we've ever seen in that game, specifically Bills and Chiefs. Jay, your impressions of last weekend?
I don't like to be the contrarian, but I'll say it was one of the greatest days of football. Saturday was shit. Those were crap games. just because games are close and just because games end on last-second field goals does not make them good games. Neither one of those games with Cincinnati and Tennessee or San Francisco and Green Bay would qualify as a good game in week six. Those were poorly played football games all around. The Titans defense and the Packers defense, they both showed up. The Niners did not score an offensive touchdown. And basically just, they basically won the game off of just special team snafus of Green Bay. And their defense played well, too, in San Francisco. But that wasn't a good game. It was a very hard – both of those games, Cincinnati, Tennessee, and San Francisco, Green Bay, were very hard watches. I think people just get excited because it's playoff football and the games are close. How many times did Tennessee sack Joe Burrow? What was eight?
That would be nine.
Nine? Yeah. No. Not good. Not good football on Saturday. Now Sunday, that's a different story. I was glad that the Rams ended up coming back and not coming back, but finding the wherewithal to win that game, because I was not, again, going to want to have to listen to the all the Tom Brady, comeback stuff, because it would have all been fiction, because Tom Brady wasn't the one out there stripping Cam Akers. Tom Brady wasn't the one out there who hurt the kicker so that he couldn't hit the long field goal that should have iced the game at the end. So when Matt Stafford found Cooper Kupp on that deep bomb, nobody was happier than me that we did not have to hear about the narrative of Tommy the GOAT bringing the team back, even though it was, again, he was present for the comeback, but he wasn't the reason they came back. That Tampa defense had a lot to say about that. And again, if Matt Gay's not hurt and he makes that 40-some yard field goal that goes short, right?
Yeah.
Didn't have a problem with the accuracy, just had no leg because he was hurt, which would have put them up, I believe, 10 at that point, and then the game's over. And he just knew, it's like, oh my god, okay, he's gonna miss it, and then it was like it just all went to the script, but. For some reason, the Tampa defense decided to leave Cooper Kupp on a single high safety, and thank God for it. And the Sunday night game was great. That's probably the most to unpack of all the games from the weekend. It really felt like a champ. Felt like it could have just been the Super Bowl. Like, they should have just had the trophy ceremony and been like, you know what, we're not going to top this the rest of the playoffs here. Chiefs, you guys could just be the Super Bowl champions. We're just going to forego the rest because we're probably not going to top this game. But if there's any blight upon that game, it's that it wasn't settled in regulation.
I mean, there's only so much you can do. Put everything they had into it, and they wind
That's
up
what
tied
I mean.
At the,
so, you know, you end up with that, watching those two, the way they battled, you just don't want to watch a game like that come down to a coin flip. Because you have a feeling if Buffalo wins the coin toss, nobody's stopping them either.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's sort of, it's the problem with NFL. You know, they've never gotten overtime right. Sudden death never felt right. If you kick a feet, nothing has ever felt right about NFL overtime, and this game, best game of the season, you watch the way those two go back and forth, and yeah, the other team never touches the ball in the overtime. So that's the only sort of, like I said, that's the only blight upon that game, as far as I'm concerned, is that it didn't end 36-33. You know, with that last second touchdown by the Bills, I would have been happy. I think that game would have been better had it ended that way than the fact that it went to overtime, because it never really felt that took the air out of the balloon for me, having that game go to overtime. But hey, you know, the Chiefs, you got to stop them. I mean, they still deserve to be there. They still won the game. You could still play defense for the last 13 seconds. You don't have to let them get into field goal range. So you could say all those things, but I think that was the only, like, you know, down mark on that game for me. It was a great game. I think the lesson here for the Buffalo Bills is this is why you don't fuck around in the regular season. This is why you don't lose to Jacksonville, because this is why you want to have this game at home. Like when Buffalo beat New England, and I was like, wow, this looks like the number one seed. And they played like it on the road in Kansas City. They had the lead. They had the game won with 13 seconds left. That game should have been in Buffalo. So they got nobody to blame but themselves.
Very good observation. That's absolutely, you do not want to slow play it during a regular season and just decide, we're not going to get up for, you know, we can beat the Jags asleep. We one arm tied behind our back. We don't really need to get up and figure out how to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. And lo and behold, you go down there and you lose and wind up in a situation where you have to go on the road here in this winner-take-all duel to the death with the Chiefs. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Did you first guess, like I did, the 13 seconds and not squib kicking or doing something to run some time off the clock and the kicking it deep? I first guessed not after the fact, but when they did it, I was like, what, why are they doing that? Why would they not squib it and make some time run off? You know, 13 seconds seems like almost impossible to get in the field goal range, but we saw it happened.
And if you're gonna kick it deep, you gotta come up with some type of a kick or some type of a coverage where you don't let them get out to the 25 or 30 yard line. You gotta come up with something there. You gotta have something in the special teams playbook, either, you know, just like a high kick where you're not gonna get much of a return.
Yeah.
Or do something.
Yep, kick it along the ground and make them have to pick it up.
There's 13 seconds left. You're not expecting them to run go 50 yards on you in 13 seconds.
You're not, especially the number one defense, you know, in the league.
Yep.
Number one pass defense. You're like, nah, we're going to hold this. You know, they got caught again. They just like you get caught thinking the Jaguars aren't going to do anything to you. You got caught thinking, 13 seconds, they're not going to get behind us,
yep,
you know, that quick. Watch this.
You've seen this too many times. You know, this used to be this was the Matt Ryan special. You know,
oh yeah,
you've seen it too many times. You know, or Aaron Rodgers did it once this year. Was at that San Francisco game.
Mm-hmm. No such thing not enough time on the clock. There's no such thing as long as there's some time, these guys can do something with that
time. Well, and you know what? Credit to Andy Reid, because I do believe you get to that point. If you have timeouts, you're in good shape. And he had all of his timeouts. So there was no panic. That's the mark of a well-coached team, right? He's not burning through his timeouts because nobody set at the line. You know, they weren't even calling timeouts on that last Bills drive to, you know, leave them some time to get the ball back. It was stunning. You know, the Bills kept going out of bounds. The Chiefs don't have to call any of their timeouts. It was pretty wild. So there's the Chiefs with timeouts, so they could work the whole field.
Everything about that ending was stunning. Everything.
Yeah. It was. No, absolutely crazy. You know, credit to the Bills. Josh Allen played out of his mind both games of the postseason.
Oh, my God. You can't play much better.
Project No More.
Project never touched the ball again. After that fourth Gabriel Davis touchdown with 13 seconds
left,
he literally could not have done more to win the game. He literally,
right.
The last time he had his hands on the football, he was throwing a touchdown pass. You can't do any more. He could not possibly do any more to win that. Like you said, the overtime, and somehow it does not seem right that you literally do the last thing you do is scoring a touchdown, and then you get the L. You're the losing quarterback in that game. Like, come on.
Right.
We got to do something about that. That speed overcame that number one pass defense, though. That's what you saw with the Chiefs.
Yep.
Finally, Tyreek Hill looked like Tyreek Hill again, and that made all the difference. Mecole Hardman speeding around for a running touchdown around the jet sweep around the edge. The speed of the Chiefs, that's what I've loved all this time about them. And just they're not consistent with it. They get hurt or they throttle it down or whatever the case may be. They don't use that speed nearly as much as they could or should, because nobody can touch them when they're running that fast, when they're in the open field and Tyreek Hill is throwing up the deuces and saying, yeah, I'm out. You can't catch me. You there's nothing you can do. I'm leaving and you can't do anything about it. That speed is so lethal and it sets them apart from everybody else. And that was the difference in the game, because really the Bills play any other team the way they played them, and they win that game probably easily.
Yeah, no, it's hard to have anything, you know, bad to say about either one of those teams. You know, neither team really played bad. I mean, you know, I guess it's sort of poetic that game went to overtime. But like you said, for Josh Allen and the Bills to end their season on a touchdown drive, to get the lead,
what else can you do
in a playoff game? Yeah, and you never see the ball again because, you know, 13 seconds for a field goal and then a coin flip and they go home. But, you know, obviously the takeaway for the Bills needs to be, you know, the ferocity that they had in the playoffs and that they had in those first five or six games last season, they need to find out a way to sustain that. Because
let's play like that all the time, huh? How about
that was always your knock on them.
Mm-hmm.
They show up kind of when they want to show up. Well, showing up when you want to show up is why you end up playing that game at Arrowhead instead of in Buffalo. And maybe that's the lesson learned for them. That seeding mattered.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be back next year to address that. I'm sure they'll have some fire off of this. You can't help but have some fire after a loss like this. This is the type of loss that, I'm not calling it, but teams that go on and win their first championship, they look back on L's like this and say, that's the one. That galvanized us. We don't ever want to feel like that again. They tried to make it like that last year when they took the L in KC to lose a conference title and got sunned by the Chiefs. And they tried to sit there and take it in and make that be the motivating factor. And that's fine, but then you got back here and you took the L again, you know, through no fault of their own. Again, they played a hell of a game. But this is the type of monumental, world-changing L that you take, that everyone is like, oh, my God, I can't believe you lost that game. What an incredible game. that teams turn around and say, okay, we ran off that streak of championships that we ran off. Again, I'm not predicting this, but if Project goes on to win, you know, two or three rings in the next 6 or 7 years, this is the L that they'll look back on and say that set us off because we could not go out like that again.
Yeah, and you look at the trajectory of Josh Allen and this Bills team, right? You know, I mean, he was overmatched in that first playoff run, right, where they had that game against Houston.
Yeah.
Where they played well, but he was clearly just all arm talent, and he's overthrowing guys, and he didn't know where the ball was going. And then they take the next progression, and then this year they take another progression. And it's, yeah, you actually can see like an arc with this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean we're in for an awful lot of really exciting AFC playoffs when you think about it over the next decade with the age, you know, how young these guys are with Allen, Mahomes, you know, Herbert, Joe Burrow, you know, all this young talent. It was funny, somebody was drawing up that comparison between the AFC and the NFC. Like the NFC is all like old guard, old guys. All, you know, and then the AFC is all of these hotshot young quarterbacks right now. It's going to be fun in the AFC for the next 10 years.
Hey, Jared Goff's not old. Come on. They got some young talent.
He's in Detroit.
Yeah, the right? NFC, they're not old guard.
No. It's all old. Like your top teams are all, you know, it's Brady, it's Rodgers, it's Russell Wilson. You know, a lot of these guys aren't Stafford's 33.
Justin Fields not old. Come on.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm trying to push him up. Trying to
Matt
propel him.
Eberflus? How do you say it?
Is it Eberflus or Eberflus? I think it's Eberflus. Whatever.
We'll have plenty of time to mock it next season.
It's fine. A very, very brief sidebar about Chicago and their hires. The GM, whatever his name is, or the Poles, Ryan Poles, that's fine.
Yeah.
Supposed to be highly touted, good for him. Used to play for them, apparently. Tried to play years ago as an offensive lineman, didn't make it. Eberflus, good, fine. The Colts defense has been pretty good. So, okay, that's great. Now, of course, the most important thing is who the hell is he bringing in as his OC to
correct
lead Justin Fields. That's the only thing I'm waiting on and worried about. You know, whatever, fine.
Oh, man, that doesn't sound like the Kool-Aid, but that's, you know, you're just like,
fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's not, you know what, as far as you're concerned, it doesn't matter as long as his name is not Matt Nagy.
Their names are Ryan and Matt, but it's not Pace and Nagy, so that's good.
They wanted to keep
it's already
continuity.
Yeah, I guess. They only have to change half the nameplate, so that's good.
Yeah.
No, that's one of the greatest games I've ever seen. It might be the greatest game I've ever seen, the Bills and Chiefs. I know it's hyperbole, but, man, that's what I felt after I watched it. That's how I felt, and that's what I'm sticking with. Just an incredible, just bombs away. Just every play, every touchdown, and here comes the next guy on the field. Okay, my turn. There's another touchdown. Okay, my turn.
There's
another back and forth.
I mean, even Jim Nantz was into it.
Even woke Jim Nantz up. That's how exciting.
You know, hello, friends. You know, Jim Nantz is usually calling golf. Even he was excited. I mean, he was like Romo excited. They knew they were watching something when you're watching like two top teams playing at the top of their ability. It was great. It was great football. It was by far the best game of the weekend. That's why I did not mean to crap on the best weekend of football ever narrative because, like I said, those Saturday games were just bad.
I mean, I felt great about the Saturday games after they were over because I've just, you know, close endings and, no, they weren't the best played games, but,
no.
You know, they can't all be
there was drama.
Bills Chiefs.
You cannot deny the fact that the games had drama and game within a game, but were they good? No, those were not good football.
Well, the other Sunday game, I got to kill the Bills, and I murdered that shit. I jumped on that Buffalo bandwagon.
But I slayed the dragon.
You finally did it. You said you're going to pick Tampa and taunt me until they got knocked out, and you finally did it. And it only took them being down 27-3 and coming and making another incredible comeback and almost putting that thing away on the other side, but not quite.
Thank God he didn't, because I couldn't hear the I would have not watched any more football this season anyway. I'd have been done. I would have wanted nothing to do with it to hear, you know, because that would have been a Rams collapse, you know, of the first order, and they would have been like, no, it was a Tommy coming. Oh. It didn't happen, and it makes me sick to think about.
I mean, he did score the points. The Rams defense kept giving him the Buccaneers defense kept giving him the ball back and having a chance to score again over and over again. So, no, I'll give them the credit for putting them in position. But Tommy still had to figure out ways to – he was running scared for his life. He had to speed up everything he was doing in the second half because the – Rams kept coming and dumping on his head, and they literally busted him in the fucking mouth. We've been talking about that for years. What do you do to Tom Brady? They literally busted him in the fucking mouth. And made him so upset he was cussing at the referees and got flagged for it. So that's what happens. You literally bust him in the mouth and then makes him see his own blood and taste his own blood. But got to give him the credit. Got to give him his due. He came back from that, and it didn't look good at all. It looked like it was going to be a Rams squish, but somehow he started throwing much quicker, got it out of his hand, and led that comeback. It was fired up Buccaneers defense also that allowed Brady to do that. Then the Rams snapping the ball too early past Matthew Stafford, letting the Buccaneers recover a fumble. Admitted it was all sorts of stuff that – That was a wild game. Not the best played.
For a while during that comeback, I was getting that sense. I was getting the fear that what we talked about with Sean McVay was starting to rear its ugly head again, which is he was hiding his quarterback. Again, he was a little bit too reliant on 2 yards in running game, you know, and hiding Matthew Stafford until that very last play, you know, on the bomb to Cup, because I just kept getting that feeling like he's just not going to let Stafford screw this up. He's not going to let him throw the pick. He's afraid. And that was another one of the reasons I thought Tampa started coming back, was because Sean McVay was afraid to just go win the game with the guy you went and got.
And that's a little crazy because it was Stafford doing what he was doing that put them in that position. That Stafford had a hell of a game. Matthew Stafford is the reason the Rams won that game, because he played his ass off from beginning to end. It wasn't Stafford making turnovers to let the Buccaneers make that comeback. It was Cooper Kupp getting stripped, trying to get extra yards after the catch. It was, like I said, the center snapping the ball past Stafford. That's not on Stafford either. It was a lot of other things going on. It wasn't Stafford making the mistakes and turning it over. It was actually Stafford playing probably the best game I think he's played as a Ram, just top to bottom. I don't know if the numbers bear it out, but, I mean, I don't think he had any interceptions. He threw for three whatever, you know, however many yards he threw for. There's no way you can put that on Stafford not playing up to his potential or not playing his best. I didn't notice the going to the run game as much as you did, but I did know that, you know, Stafford had a chance to really, you know, put the nail in the coffin, and you know, like I said, you got Cooper Kupp fumbling a ball, and then you got the bad snap, and you had some situations where the Rams kind of were as a team, not maybe not the coaching staff all by themselves, but maybe the coaches too, but as a team, they were all sort of melting in the moment and almost falling to the Brady mystique. Like, they were just finally, well, okay, here's another opportunity, Tampa. Here's another one. Please take it, you know, take the lead from us, please. But I don't know what we're doing. We're going to Brady needed two TD drives in 4 minutes with no touchdowns, and he actually got it. It's crazy. Got the touchdown to Mike Evans, burning Jalen Ramsey. Then Ndamukong Suh comes and strips Akers of the ball and gives them another possession. They get a Leonard Fournette touchdown on fourth down to complete the wild comeback. And it was just, it felt like the difference between a team that's actually done it in Tampa Bay, winning the title last year, and a team that hasn't done it. The Rams were played that entire second half like a team that didn't think they were going to be there, or didn't deserve to be there. Just completely gave that lead up, 27-27, and then it was Stafford again taking it back with the big throws to Cooper Kupp, getting wide open for 20 yards and then even more wide open for 44 to put him in field goal range for Matt Gay to win the game.
Yeah, and the onions on the throw. I mean, you know, there was no hesitation on that last throw. I remember I'm texting you, you know, about your boy Stafford with the stones, and I did dunk on Jimmy G right away and say that was the throw that Jimmy G couldn't make, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was Emmanuel Sanders in the Super Bowl, and Jimmy G overthrows him, right?
That's right. Oh,
almost the same route, that just straight up the seam, wide open, and that's why when you're Sean McVay, that's why you get rid of Jared Goff and you go get Matthew Stafford. You get him for that throw right there.
Not the whole game, though. Stafford was just...
I thought in the fourth quarter that they got conservative as hell play calling. Like, they were afraid. Like you said, that I thought they were doing everything that they could to coach Tom Brady back into the game.
I know they needed a lot of help. Tommy needed a lot of help to get back in that game. And the Rams were
willing.
Yeah. They okay, come right through. Right this way, Mr. Brady.
I'm glad, though. It's over. I when I made the pick, I said I wanted the Rams, but I was taking Tom Brady because I was done.
I know.
I was going to make sure that Tom Brady did not make it to the championship weekend, but I really did like the Rams. And the Rams made me look
now I'm done.
Really good, and then the comeback started, and wow. I'm just glad it's not Tampa because I couldn't do it again.
And I'm not going to sit here and slob on Tommy's knob all day, but I just wanted to give him his props. Just like Project, Tommy did all he could to bring – he had not a good first half. He's getting pressured and beat up and bloodied. Had a great second half, did everything he could to bring Tampa back to the game. Tie the game. The last thing Tommy did was throw a touchdown. If you believe the rumors, the last thing Tommy ever did in the NFL was throw a touchdown pass in the playoffs to tie a game that he was losing 27-3. That's a hell of a way to go out if indeed he is completely going out and retiring. Seems to be conflicting reports about that. But, again, never saw the ball again. Yeah, that wasn't an overtime rule, but it was just the Rams getting back and getting in the field goal range and the Tampa defense not being able to hold L.A. in place after that incredible comeback to tie the game. So, Tommy did what Tommy does at age 44. That's what he did all year, was just find a way to perform, and that's what he did in this game. And I was just, you know, we didn't have the Kansas City-Buffalo game yet to marvel at. So I was at the end of this game, the LA Tampa game, I was just like, oh my God, what a incredible finish. What a great comeback. They almost did the Atlanta Falcon thing again. And it wasn't 28-3, it was 27, but they almost did it again. And then, you know, Cooper Kupp making the great plays and LA pulls it out. Wow. That's unbelievable. What else could happen in the and then the Buffalo KC game happened. It's like, oh, God.
Although I somebody in Tampa's coaching room obviously did not see the stats about Matthew Stafford against the blitz this year.
Yeah.
Because he was deadly almost all season against the blitz. I believe he was the highest ranked quarterback in the league against the blitz this year. So what do you do with the game on the line?
Uh-oh.
Blitz him.
Oh, no.
You blitz him on that 44-yarder to Cooper Kupp. They brought the heat. And, I mean, it wasn't even he didn't even put a lot on that throw. He just lofted that thing out over the middle and let Cooper Kupp go get it. And it was perfect.
Put it where it's supposed to be. Tampa took over as the highest blitzing team this year. So this was, you know, they stained to what they did. Yeah. They had so many injuries in their back end They had to find a way to create pressure and manufacture it. So Todd Bowles went down doing, you know, what they do. And, yeah, it didn't work out in the end, that's for sure. But I still can't believe they even made that comeback. I swear, 27-3, I'm like, oh, this is over.
I never thought that. I never thought that. I knew there'd be some kind of a way, you know, that they'd come back, assisted or unassisted, they would find a way to get back in the game.
So I shit on both of my Super Bowl teams, and they shit right back in my mouth. So thanks for that, guys. Rams and the Chiefs.
Now you can't even claim geniusness because you picked against them.
Nope. I already picked against both of them, so absolutely no way I can say that. Hey, watch this. If they both win tomorrow, I had that. I picked that at the beginning of the year, yeah, and then I picked them to lose when the playoffs started. So, no, I deserve it. Unbelievable that the Kansas City won that game. I just knew that was over when Buffalo gets that last touchdown with 13 seconds left. I absolutely did not think there's any chance that they were going to get the back in the field goal range. That's insane. 13 seconds and they make it that in the field goal range that fast. That was, and then you got to give Harrison Butker the credit for making the kick, because you got to think about the pressure of that situation that they did
And he was a little bit to the left or the right or the upright all night. I mean, he was just, none of his kicks were like dead on. He was sneaking a lot of them in there, and he missed an extra point too.
He doinked the
field goal and missed an extra point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if he didn't do that, the field goal at the end of regulation would have won the game for the Chiefs, but it wouldn't have covered the spread. So I could have backdoored that one, but oh well, didn't work.
I see. Yeah. Well, that's okay. That's okay. I was so out of it on Sunday that I didn't even have the, you know, presence of mind to disagree with you on the picks or flip my, I was just done. I was gooped last weekend and, you know, just, I'm not even fully recovered from it. So, I spent actually most of Sunday in bed, which is kind of sad that I didn't actually get to see a lot of both of these games. I saw portions of both of them, but it would be enough to where I would get out of bed, watch a quarter, and then be like, oh, I got to go back to bed.
Yeah.
My experience with the playoffs last weekend, even though I was home both days, was mostly either just watching updates on my phone or watching highlights after, because I was asleep.
Yeah. And so update, families, recovering and doing better.
Well, yeah, but three of us all got it at the same time. So my daughter had it back in October, and then none of us got it. And then it was last week on Friday, right before our show. You know, my wife had said that she tested positive on the at-home test, and my son wasn't feeling well. So I was like, okay, I'm going to take Saturday off of work because I don't want to leave you guys home just with my daughter, you know, if you guys are sick. And by the middle of the day on Saturday, it hit me. So I was glad I stayed home. And it was a rough, 3-4 days for me. Saturday night was bad. Sunday was really bad. Monday wasn't good. And then, you know, just these last couple of days, now it's just like all fatigue. I'm just beat. It kicked my ass. So you had it. So, you know, the recovery from it, it's like, I don't feel, you know, sick. I mean, I've got like a little stuffy nose, you know, little hoarse, but my, like really what it is, it's just the like the aches and the pains and the just tired. I'm just beat. That's the only way I can describe it. I went back to work today. Today was my first day back. And I just sat at my desk for most of the day. I just tried not to get up, and then I would just find these moments where I was just staring off into space, just like in a complete fog.
Right.
You know?
No, it's a virus.
Yeah. It messes with you, and there's a recovery time. And, you know, obviously I'm off of, you know, quote unquote quarantine, but that doesn't mean that, you know, the effects just, hey, they're gone.
Right.
and you're better. No, it's something that you could deal with for a while. It's right, but you know, I'm not dealing with any. You know, right now, like I said, all I'm dealing with is just being enormously tired. I mean, one of the days I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was the strangest feeling. Was like every joint in my body hurt. Like my fingers hurt.
Yeah.
My toes hurt. I mean, it was the most bizarre feeling. Like, I felt like I was 100 years old and I had arthritis in my whole body. It's like every single part of my body was just pain. Wasn't fun.
But no, definitely not fun. Yeah, that's
here.
Everybody survived is about all you can say about it. And,
yeah.
And you're turning the corner and starting to recover,
yeah,
and get back from it. So that's a good thing.
My wife had it. She had it worse longer than I had for her. But I had that 36 hours where it was really bad. So,
yeah.
So I think hers was more bad for a prolonged period where I kind of like spiked like really bad and then started to come back down a little bit more. And then just was dealing with after effects and, you know, and not feeling good, but I made it. I definitely made it. It did not help my football viewing. It did not make it enjoyable.
Yeah. Good that you're on the mend is all I can say. Is I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I'm, you know, sick to my stomach when I saw the text when you told me that you were fully gooped. I was, you know, because this is 2 years now that we're all, you know, we as a society,
yep,
are going through this shit and is still around and still affecting people. And now it finally got to you guys, and I'm sorry that it had to happen to anyone, really. But definitely you guys. But thankfully it's turning around.
And yeah, my son had it like it was nothing. Just like my daughter.
Hmm.
He didn't feel good for a day or two. He had a little fever, and you know, like in 48 hours, he was completely fine. I was like, that's what I need. I need to be 7 years old again.
Yeah. We can't do that. We've been there. It's long gone. It's over.
Yeah. 46. It doesn't hit you the same at 46 as it does at seven, apparently.
No. And hopefully we don't get anything like it at 66.
You know,
it'll really kill us then.
I'm glad, because I would not have flipped positions with him for anything.
Yeah.
And had to have watched him, or, you know, experienced him having to go through what me and my wife went through. But no, everybody's, you know, everybody's getting better. I can't say that we all feel great, but
yeah, right,
we're definitely better now than we were a week ago right now. Which is so weird, because I did a show with you Friday night and I felt fine.
Yeah, and then that's how
and then
that's
by
how it
Saturday
happened.
Night
you,
I was just in hell.
Yeah.
It was just so weird that in 24 hours, there's no way I could have done a show with you on Saturday night. It was that deep of a, you know, of a dive from where I was on Friday.
You know, that kind of sounds like what I went through a few months ago, where I had that we were supposed to have a middle of the week show for whatever reason, and I had to cancel it because I was going through something that sounded a little bit like what you just went through. So I don't know. For all I know, maybe I had some sort of Omicron experience. I don't know, but
could have been,
yeah, like
it could have been gooped twice. Well, back then it would have probably been Delta.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Which is about, but, you know, it's what we figure my daughter had.
Right.
That would have been that time frame. And then, but apparently, you know, this Omicron's just like wildfire, you know, and we don't know where we got it from or who we got it from. All I know is that I was a day, pretty much almost exactly a day behind my wife on everything. So her and my son start showing symptoms Friday, and then I start showing them on Saturday. And pretty much, if you looked at the way, like, my wife progressed through it, and you looked at the way I progressed through it, I was about a day behind her on everything. So it was pretty much like whatever I saw she was dealing with, like, I was like, oh, it's going to be me tomorrow. Oh, no.
Yeah. Right.
So I was like, one of the days she has all the stomach problems, and I was like, oh, crap. Yep, sure enough, next day it's me. And I was like, oh, man.
Saw your future, and it didn't look good.
I did. I know. I was just like, oh. I don't want to have to deal with that.
Yeah, that's what's so messed up about it. So all you can do is just let it run its course and do what it's going to do.
Yeah, no, nobody bothered put that. Didn't put me on any medicine. You know, the only thing I was really taking was just like ibuprofen for all the pain.
Yeah.
And making sure that the fever stayed down, you know. But I, you know, my fever was really only bad for about 2 days, and then it was fine.
No, it affects everyone in different ways. Yeah, we're spiking again down here in Tennessee with the Omicron thing. So
yeah,
never ending.
Well, it's a virus. It's kind of what you do. I mean, It's not like you can just put it in a bottle. And
no, unfortunately.
Wash it away. You know, it's gonna. It doesn't seem to matter. Countries, it's blowing through, you know, countries that are, you know, 90% vaccinated, it's blowing through countries. It's just everywhere now.
Well, like I said, it's nothing I would wish on anyone. And
no.
You got all the experience now. You know exactly what I was dealing with and talking about. And no fun. No fun at all. So
no, I had the flu a few years ago. It felt a lot like that. It was basically almost to a T about 5-6 years ago. I had the flu pretty bad, and this was like that.
So this is why we're doing only 60 minutes live tonight.
Yeah,
and,
sorry, I'm holding up, but I don't have a lot. I gotta get I gotta work again tomorrow, so. The stamina is just not there. So I'm giving you the best hour I can give you right now.
Yeah, you're firing out there at the beginning. You're sounding a lot better than I thought you would. I thought you were gonna maybe, you know, just have almost half a voice or whatever. But no, you're putting forth full power. But yeah, like you said, it's not gonna last too long. So
right.
So the Niners Packers game that you.
Just what a terrible game.
Yeah. It was interesting to me because you got Aaron Rodgers out there clearly not trusting anyone outside of Davante Adams and just trying to do whatever he can to not have to use anybody else on his team besides Davante Adams. They get that opening drive for a touchdown using Davante Adams all over the field, and they run it in for and that's it, folks. If you tuned in to that game to watch Green Bay touchdowns, that was it. You could have went to bed after that because that was all she wrote after that first drive. And the first guy Rodgers trusted in that game besides Davante Adams was Mercedes Lewis. And what happened?
He bumped
it up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very unstable ball security. You got 10-degree weather, the ball's slick, it's bad conditions. You know, San Francisco wasn't holding onto the ball very well. They weren't catching it very well. Garoppolo and his bad thumb were actually making some excellent throws. His teammates weren't helping him out. George Kittle had a real bad drop in there.
Yeah.
But Green Bay couldn't take advantage. There was one point I definitely took note of Rodgers using that patented hard count special of his. He caught his own wide receiver. Alan Lazard got a false start. And subsequent third and long was a Samson Ecubom sack. And that was it. I don't think Rodgers ever tried that again. And you're talking about the Aaron Rodgers and the quarterback tricks that he has. That's one of them. The catching extra men on the field and getting a quick snap is another one. He didn't go to any of those things. He was trying to win that game sort of straight up and really trusting only one receiver. As great as Aaron Rodgers has been this year, you're not going to win too many playoff games not using any of your tricks and trusting one receiver the entire game in 10-degree weather. That was sort of doomed to fail.
Yeah, outside of Aaron Jones and Davante Adams, nobody saw more than two targets. I mean, the whole point of this game for them was to like, kind of get everybody back. And, you know, Randall Cobb comes back, he doesn't do anything. He's pretty much useless for the whole game. Yeah, Mercedes Lewis has the fumble. They don't use Lazard. So, yeah, all you got to do is just take away Davante Adams. You know, they lose Dylan, you know, don't forget that, who scores their only touchdown, but he gets hurt. So So then he's not there for the rest of the game, which sort of changes the complexion of their running game and takes away a little bit of the nasty that they had. Yeah, that was not a very good offensive game plan. Once the Niners tied that game up, their offensive game plan looked like panic throws, and it just wasn't very good. Like they had no answer. You know, I know not a big fan of Joe Buck, but when he said that they were stunned, he wasn't joking. They looked like the fans were stunned, the team was stunned. Like there was no reason for San Francisco to be in that game, and they were tied after that block punt touchdown. And you never really felt like San Francisco was even in that game, even at just a 7-point deficit. Like San Francisco's offense was not going to score a touchdown. The one thing that you cannot let happen then happened. That's why it was such a stunning loss, because they get a blocked field goal and then a blocked punt for a touchdown, and that's it. That's it. That's San Francisco's highlight reel.
Terrible special teams play by the Packers pretty much was the entirety of it. They looked stunned. Rodgers looked cold. You talked about teams that you can tell
who's going to look cold.
Rodgers actually looked cold. That's stunning for the longtime Packers quarterback, but he didn't look like he wanted to be there. He didn't look very comfortable the entire game. Not that Jimmy G was any great shakes. I'll concede to you, no, it wasn't a very well-played game. It was just great drama. I guess I was going off of the great drama from the two games on Saturday, Cincinnati and Tennessee, and then San Francisco, Green Bay, the two top seeds working so hard to get that bye week and get that first playoff game at home. And they go bye, and then bye-bye.
And they lay
first
eggs.
Game, both of them.
Both of them.
Out.
Both of them completely lay eggs. And Tennessee, nine sacks of Joe Burrow, and you lose.
Not enough. Should have sacked him 12 times, I guess.
You needed 10. Apparently you needed 10. But, yeah, Ryan Tannehill, three picks. Derrick Henry. You know, hey, he was there. He wasn't 100%, that's for certain, but he was out there, you know, and the receivers showed up. You know, we said that having Henry out there was going to open up the passing game, and AJ Brown and Julio Jones, they combined to go for over 200 yards between the two of them. But oh man, not a good day for Ryan Tannehill to turn back into Miami Dolphin Ryan Tannehill.
And that was decided on the first couple of plays of the game. That game was over after the first two plays.
Yeah, he threw a pick. Boom.
The first play of the game.
Yeah.
Playoff starting. Everybody go crazy. 4:30 Eastern time. Tennessee on the field doing what they're supposed to do. Very first play. Play fake for the stud running back, Derrick Henry, his best player. And then he throws an INT. That's the Tanny Show, folks. That's what I was afraid of the entire time. The Ryan Tannehill Show. I said it when I made my pick. He was going to lose that game somehow, some way. The Tanny Show was going to do what the Tanny Show does. But the reason I say the first two plays of the game decided that game, because Cincinnati's first play after that, Joe Burrow play action and nobody was open, so Burrow takes a sack, which is so much better than throwing the INT. That's the difference. Burrow takes nine sacks, doesn't give it to the other team. Guess who wins? That's the difference. You can take sacks all day long, just don't give the ball to the other damn team. If you still have possession, that's much better than not having possession. And that's what Tannehill still – I feel like I'm sounding like Ron Jaworski now. If you want to win the game, you got to have possession, because that's better than not having possession. I'm doing my best Jaws now.
That's good.
That was it.
That was good. That was a good Jaws.
Thank you. That's the whole game. That you cannot – keep turning the ball over. So you get another pick in there in the middle of the game, tip drill. And then the last play of the game for Tennessee. First throw for Tanny, picked off. Last play of the game for Tanny, picked off. Tip drill INT to Eli Apple, popping it up for Cedric Wilson. And give Tanny enough throws and he'll give it up. And that's basically why I picked Cincinnati, and that's exactly what happened.
So, yeah, both of the number one seeds sort of get, unceremoniously bumped. But that was the disrespect bowl anyways, right? Didn't matter who won.
Nobody believed in us.
I will tell you, Cincinnati has been playing that card all week.
Yeah. Well,
nobody gave us a chance. Yeah. If it was Tennessee, we'd be hearing it about Tennessee. They'd be hosting this game, too, in Tennessee, talking about they're disrespected as the number one seed.
Everyone's saying we're the worst number one seed ever. Here we are. Most of Cincinnati is playing that undercard thing. Burrow seems to be over it already, which I really love that because he doesn't think he's an underdog in anything. He thinks he's the best damn player in the world. He's the greatest everything.
I will say you got to say something for these guys who come out of these big-time programs, right? Like, I mean, Joe Burrow has played in championship-caliber football games most of his collegiate career, playing in the SEC, playing at LSU, right? They're playing big-time games in front of tons of people. So I don't see Joe Burrow shrinking from this moment, right? He didn't go to North Dakota State. Just saying.
Shout out, Carson Wentz.
Just saying. Not calling out any particular guy or any particular school, but Joe Burrow is not going to shy from the moment, he's not playing in the Mountain West or something like that. He's playing as close to pro level football as you could, and he played that in college. So something to be said about that. I know everybody out there wants to be the smartest guy in the room, and all these guys on draft, and they want to talk about all these things, but you can't take big game experience lightly, and Joe Burrow has big game experience. He expects to be in this game. You know, he's probably lost more games as a pro than he ever lost in college. So he does give him credit. He has earned the right to be cocky.
He's another level, though. There's a lot of quarterbacks from big schools, and they don't act like him. Like, he thinks he is the cock of the walk, if I can pull out an old phrase.
But he's backing it up right now.
It's no doubt. No one can say shit to him right now. Man, I did not have an idea or an inkling that the Bengals were going to be in the AFC title game. When we talked about real or fake, I was like,
oh, my God.
Nobody wants to see him in the playoffs.
The Bengals? Odds to make the Super Bowl back when we did our show. You know, we were talking about teams even just to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I believe the Bengals' odds to win the Super Bowl before the season started were like plus 18,000.
Wow.
They were the only team that had like worse one was Detroit. So people did not think very highly of Cincinnati before the season started. And here's Cincinnati about to go into the AFC championship game. But we saw this building all year, right?
Sure. Not before the season, but during the season.
Yeah. Cause they all of a sudden started winning big games. I mean, they weren't, we've already said it about Cincinnati during the regular season. I'll say it about them again. They did not bum slay their way here.
Right.
So they earned it. They completely earned their spot. It's not their fault they drew Tennessee, who just was ripe for the plucking. They had to win that game, and they won the previous game. They barely won that, too, but they won these games.
They won.
Yeah.
Because they didn't turn the ball over, and Tennessee did.
Again, first Captain AFC Obvious. Championship game since Boomer's days, I believe.
Yeah, 88, I believe.
88.
Quite a while ago. Man,
so good,
sixth grade.
Bengals, Chiefs. Yeah, I don't think either one of us had Bengals, Chiefs for the AFC Championship.
No, I'm not going to even pretend like I did. I didn't have Bengals anybody for the AFC Championship, but there they are. All right, we got 5 minutes live left for two games. Obviously, we'll get into much, much more detail about our picks in the after show. Or at least as much as Jay can withstand. He's done a great job of hanging in with us live so far. So let's get to these picks. For the AFC Championship, that's first on the docket tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, the Cincinnati Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs. Bengals were 6-3 on the road this year, counting that win last week. And the Chiefs now with that, those two playoff wins since the playoffs started, now 9-2 at home. So they keep piling on those home wins. They're going for 10 home wins on the season tomorrow if they can get that done. Chilly weather, but no wind in the forecast. So just going to be a little cold, but they don't have to worry about crazy winds or anything like that. Bengals are only 3.5-point dogs. Got the hook on there. Am I looking at the wrong game? I'm sorry. 7.5. That's the other game.
I was about to say 3.5. That made my pick.
No, Bengals plus 7.5 at Kansas City. Who you got?
I'm going to have to take Kansas City. You know, Cincinnati is a nice story, and I don't want to give them billboard material. Not that we would ever. I wish we could get billboard material, but it's been
those
a nice run.
At IMLD.
Let's just say that. It's been a nice run. Everybody on Kansas City looks healthy. Patrick Mahomes looks healthy. He can run again. So they've got that added dimension where he can run around. His foot's not obviously a bother anymore. Tyreek Hill looked insanely fast. Everything looked fast. I think they're going to overwhelm Cincinnati. And by virtue of having lost to them once already, I don't think they're going to overlook Cincinnati, which I think would be this would be an easy team for them to overlook. God, they're just going to show up and win the AFC Championship. But by the fact that they went and they beat them the first time and hung the L on the Chiefs, I think they're going to come out and have a little something for them. I think they win by 3 touchdowns.
Ooh. It was an impressive comeback win for Cincinnati in Week 17. They beat the Chiefs at home 34-31 to clinch the AFC North title in that game. Burrow had 466 yards and 4 touchdowns,
yep.
And 266 of those went to Ja'Marr Chase and 3 of the touchdowns. Bengals really played keep away from the great Pat Mahomes in that game. He wouldn't let him have the last shot, unlike the Buffalo Bills. Hey, look at that. So, yeah, I'm going to concur and take the Chiefs and give the 7.5. So now I'm back on the Chiefs. I went against them last week. I didn't believe in them. And they somehow pulled out a win that they probably shouldn't have. It's the Bills just squib kick. But, yeah, like you said, everyone looks healthy. That's the real key, using that speed that they have that nobody else can match. And Tyreek Hill looks like he's back. He came through and with his speed. Pat Mahomes, as you pointed out, running around and actually matching and hanging with Josh Allen on the ground, which is probably the most unheralded part of last weekend, is the fact that Mahomes was actually out there running and doing yep. everything he was doing as well. So, yeah,
that
the Chiefs look
right
like they're mm-hmm. So the Chiefs look like they're doing what the Chiefs are supposed to do, and like you said, they'll have the motivation to get that win back from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I'll give my X factor if after the next pick. We'll do those in the after show. Not that anybody cares.
So 49ers and Rams, third meeting for them on Sunday evening for the NFC Championship. And that's the 3.5 that I was looking at. Plus 3.5 at the Rams.
I'm taking the Rams. I don't like to go chalky here. Obviously, you figure somebody is going to get upset. But the Rams, they slayed the dragon. They look healthy. They've put this whole team together. This whole thing they have done has been all put together for this moment. The OBJ, Von Miller, all these pieces that they've been putting together all year. I don't think that they're going to let a massively less talented team, well-coached, but much less talented team, go into their building and beat them for the championship. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, because Kyle Shanahan's a great coach. He gets a lot out of these guys, right? But I don't want Jimmy G and the Chiefs in another Super Bowl. No, seen it, been there, done that. Rams.
I've heard Kyle Shanahan's in Sean McVay's head, and we got 6 wins in a row for San Fran over L.A. The Rams just, they can't do it. They can't get it done against San Fran. No, this is... That absolute shop wrecking L.A. Rams defense, and they got Von Miller to buttress Aaron Donald, and they're going to come for Jimmy G. They're coming for Jimmy Garoppolo's head. It might get ugly. This is exactly what the Rams are put together for. I concur, and I'm also taking the LA Rams, which is my other Super Bowl team from the preseason.
Yeah, because all the all drama. Right. If I had had the wherewithal to disagree with you on the two games on Sunday, I'd still be in this thing. I didn't have it in me.
No, it happened. You got very, very sick. It happens.
Yeah. So the goop got me.
I'll admit I was sitting there at the end of those games Sunday night going, God damn it, if he'd have just switched those two picks, he'd been right back in this thing.
You still would have had to have lost every pick.
But this is me. That's very possible.
The rest of the playoffs. So, yeah, no, and the fact that we disagree, I mean, the fact that we agree about both of these, watch, it's Bengals-Niners.
The Tim Crum Ryan Bowl is coming up.
And John Taylor back.
Uh-huh.
We're getting it all back together. It's going to, yep, Burrow and Jimmy G. That catch the fever.
Lord.
Or we're both going to get hooked. You know, Niners by 7, Rams by 3. I was in bed through the whole beginning of that game on Sunday, and I woke up and I was just like, oh, man. Didn't even think to call the audible. Didn't even realize it until, like, after both the games were over, like, oh, I never changed those picks. But
right.
It's okay.
I think that's when I realized it was after.
You had a hell of a season, and I got rid of Tom Brady, so you're welcome.
You did it. You were intent on killing him off.
I said I was taking one for the team, and I took one for the team.
You finally did. All right, Bengals, Chiefs, X-Factors for the record.
So I looked back at the first game, and one thing that really stood out to me is the Bengals – you know how many times they sacked Patrick Mahomes in the first matchup?
Ooh, how many?
Zero.
Ah.
So they got to get some pressure. I'm going a little chalky. Their number one sack guy, Trey Hendrickson, 14 sacks on the year. Somebody has to get Patrick Mahomes on his booty if the Bengals have a chance in this game. If he can stand there clean the whole game, forget it.
Right. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm going with Honey Badger, who was concussed last game. He's practicing this week, so it looks like he's going to be able to be cleared and make his way on the field. Same thing on the other side. If you let Joe Burrow sit back there, he's proven that you can sack him 18 times, and he'll still get up and sling it and find his guys. I'm calling him 50 Cent Burrow from this point forward.
Or he's like the quarterback Honey Badger because he don't care.
There you go.
He's the opposite.
I'm calling him 50 Cent. I'm if I may be stereotypical, and I don't think you're very familiar with 50 Cent's work. The material in his early songs is why I'm calling Joe Burrow 50 Cent. Is because early on, 50 Cent could not get through a song without telling you about the fact that when he was running the streets and being a criminal, that he was once shot 9 times and somehow survived that.
Joe Burrow.
That's Joe Burrow. That's admirable that you got shot, but 50 Cent tells you that every single song. Every song, I got shot 9 times, I got shot.
Okay.
It felt like it was in every song. So
all right,
Joe Burrow,
I got a question here. I've got deep questions. Did he get shot 9 different times, or did he get shot 9 times at once?
It was 9 times at once, and somehow survived.
So somebody plugged them 9, so you got 9 yes. bullets all, you know. All right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's easier to live through than getting shot on 9 different occasions.
I don't know. I don't know what kind of caliber bullets gun we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know. What kind of gun do you have where you shoot someone 9 times and they survive? Was that a paint gun? I don't know exactly.
I'm thinking he obviously it missed all the vitals is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's I would think so too.
I'm thinking that's a lot of arm and leg action.
But he came back. So Joe Burrow, you can sack him 9 times and he's going to come back. He's always going to be there throwing that thing around and coming back and slinging it. Honey Badger's got to be there, ready, willing, and able to do something. He's got 3 picks this year, including a pick 6, 26 career interceptions. He's got to be a playmaker. The Chiefs need somebody back there to be a playmaker when Joe Burrow gets up after they sack him for the eighth time or whatever and still is looking
yeah.
deep. He's still going to be looking deep no matter what. You know that. And the Chiefs got to be ready to make some plays, knock some of those balls down. So I'm going
so,
with
but both of us are thinking defense in that game. We're, you know, obviously we know the resumes, right? We know about Burrow and we know about Chase and we know about all the guys that Andy Reid will throw at you and all the, you know, you call the weird geometry.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, we
somebody's got to stop it.
We know the speed. We know all the guys out there that just burn you with the speed, and they're so such game changing speed at that. You need somebody to make a play. You know, it reminds me of the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, which I picked that one, and I said the Eagles just got to make a play. They got to get defensive guys have to come through on Tom Brady. They got to bust him in the fucking mouth, and they got to make plays on defense. And they wound up making like one good play on defense.
They made two. They made two plays on defense that whole game, I believe. One was right before halftime. They stopped early in the game. I know they stopped the Patriots on like a third and real short, and they stuffed them.
Yeah.
And Belichick opted to kick the field goal instead of going for it, which everybody's like, whoa, but that was the one defense. The other one was the strip sack. That was it. That's the list.
That's it.
But that's the defensive highlights for both teams.
Right.
Because the Patriots had zero defensive highlights in that game.
Exactly. So just make a play. It might only take one play, but as long as you can outscore the other team, but you got to make a play.
Well,
you
that's like the Bills-Chiefs game last week. There's to tell me quick a defensive highlight in that game. Yeah, there was a couple sacks, but it's about it, right? That's it.
No, it was basically just bombs away. Now you score. Now give me the ball back.
Oh,
I'm
yeah?
gonna score. Now
watch
give me the ball.
This. I mean,
hold my beer.
Whole game.
Watch
yeah.
this.
Yeah,
man, that game was absolutely incredible.
Said that would have probably have been the that should have been the AFC Championship game. Probably should have been the Super Bowl.
And then Niners Rams, your X factor.
I'm going old school because I do believe that the San Francisco 49ers are the only team running a fullback. Still doing it, and Shanahan did it with Atlanta. He does it with San Francisco. I'm going with Kyle Juszczyk, who just somehow shows up in like the strangest ways in the stat sheet. He'll surprise you with a run. All of a sudden he'll catch a long pass out of nowhere. One of those guys that like, you know, that nobody runs fullbacks anymore. Right. For all those years, I'm trying to remember who it was. Was it Baltimore? Baltimore and Tennessee used to run fullbacks like when nobody had fullbacks anymore, right?
Yeah, those were like the last two guys that were using
right.
fullbacks regularly,
and,
basically.
And now here we go. It's Kyle Shanahan, right? The genius. But they still run. They'll still set up with an actual fullback in the backfield. And it helps a little in the running game, helps bring guys out. But all of a sudden, once in a while, he shows up on the stat sheet. So I like impact. I like guys to make impact like that. Guys that you don't expect are going to show up, and all of a sudden he's going to score himself a touchdown. So they stay in this game. They're going to have to get creative. We know that.
Oh, sure. I cannot
They're
wait
not
for that
win
game.
This thing just going straight up, toe-to-toe.
No, that's what I'm most looking forward to, is these two geniuses and offensive minds. I'm very pleased that two of the talented creative coaches and staffs from that NFC West are left standing for the conference championship. I'm very happy to see that. Which mind is going to power their team forward, I think, is really going to be fascinating to watch. I'm actually anticipating a lot of creativity because, again, the third meeting this year,
right.
Very familiar with each other. You got to pull out some stuff that the other team hasn't seen before. You have to in this situation because everyone knows each other so well. And these two coaches are going to – they have the capability of pulling out stuff you've never seen. You might have Juszczyk line up, you know, split wide. You never know,
I
you know what they're going to pull out. My X factors are the two big-time – left tackles on each team. I'm splitting it between the two teams because Trent Williams was had an ankle injury, was doing some unbelievable stuff in that game last week. They were pulling him. They were having him go in motion. And it's like, what is that truck that's going across back of the offensive line? Oh, that's Trent Williams running in motion. Oh, my God. That's not fair, man. He gets a running start like that in motion and goes around the edge and starts blasting people. So he had a bad ankle. They need him. They need that athleticism. They need that great protection that he lends, because Jimmy Garoppolo needs all the help he can get. And then for the Rams, the old man, the gray beard, Andrew Whitworth, with a knee injury, did not play last week and will get a chance to come back for the conference title game. And they need him to anchor for Matthew Stafford as well. So those are my two big X factors. Because if you don't protect these quarterbacks, both of these teams will go after the quarterback. You know, Nick Bosa and the 49ers. And Eric Armstead had a great game against Rodgers last week. And of course, we know about the Rams with Von Miller, Andrew, Aaron Donald, not Andrew.
Yeah, Floyd and Donald and Miller. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're stacked. Ramsey, it looks like such a mismatch on paper, but that's the beauty of it, because so did the Green Bay game.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the way
they don't play it on paper.
Defense played. We don't talk enough about that defensive performance that the Packers put out there. The reason you go and get that number one seed is so you could get all those guys back. And that Green Bay defense dominated San Francisco.
Yeah. Garoppolo did not look very, very good.
No.
Doubt about that.
Yeah. No, the San Francisco offense in general looked awful, but they get that touchdown to tie, and then all they need is that field goal at the end, and they did enough. I'll give it, but that offense was not good. They do that against the Rams, it will get ugly.
They did not look good until that last drive where they needed the 3rd and 7, and Shanahan calls a timeout and says, Garoppolo, with all due respect, fuck you. We're handing it to Debo, and we're going to let him take us
and
to
he
the
got
final play. That's exactly what he did.
Yeah. They ran it.
Debo
to get
Debo.
So I will say, we could have retired doing X Factors had one of us taken Gabriel Davis last week as our X Factor.
Oh, my God. No. Never saw that coming in a million years.
If one of us had said Gabriel Davis is my X, we're done. That would have been the mountaintop as far as X Factors, because 4 touchdowns?
All of these Yahoo daily fantasy contests for last weekend, everyone that had Gabriel Davis won those contests. All of those contests.
Yeah, I would guess so.
No, I mean, I'm looking at them and my mouth's at guys that are, you know, cashing in for $10,000 and, you know, $5,000, you know, all the ones at number one are the guys that had Gabriel Davis. Nobody saw that coming. Gabriel Davis.
Because he cost you nothing.
Right, because he's just a guy.
And he gets 4 touchdowns. Has his, like, that's it. He should have retired. Forget Tom Brady talking about retirement. Gabriel Davis should have just retired after that game. I'm riding off into the sunset.
He may still. The Bill season is over. He's got a lot of time to decide what he wants to do with the next stage of his life. Maybe he'll go to Hollywood. Maybe he'll go into a lab and invent some, come up with a new disease-preventing medicine. There's all sorts of things Gabriel Davis can do after pulling that stunt.
And he's like their fifth guy. I mean,
right.
Because you got Diggs and Sanders and McKenzie and then Gabriel Davis. Am I forgetting Beasley?
No, I would put Dawson Knox above him, the tight end.
So he's like the last guy.
Right. Like the fifth
Maybe
or sixth
that's the
option.
Difference between Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers.
Well, one just made a great star for one night out of just a guy, and Rodgers,
right.
Not so much.
But I'm saying Allen didn't have a problem throwing it to the other guys either. He was throwing to Beasley. Those two throws he made over the middle to Beasley early in that game, I mean, there was just I will say it wasn't the best football game ever, but it was some of the most clutch quarterbacking I've ever seen, back and forth. Both of those guys, it was a treat how clutch they were.
You're a tough customer. I don't know how much better football you could possibly hope to watch.
I'm trying
to let
it settle in because it's just, I'm not going to ESPN this thing.
I really try not to do that, but my God, what else do you want?
I mean, we have
literally, what else could they have done in that game?
It's one of the best playoff games. Yeah, it was good. Now, if you like defense, you didn't want to watch that game at all. But if you would have just watched two quarterbacks going mano a mano and playing at the best, that's hard to beat.
That's the thing, too. It wasn't just there were a lot of blown coverages, too. But it wasn't just that. It was a lot of throws in very tight windows. It was a lot of the two safeties over the top and the linebackers dropping back, and I got to fit this thing in just in the perfect spot with enough heat on it to get over the linebackers, but not too much heat because then it's going to go to the safeties. And they just kept putting it in exactly the right place, both of them. I really don't know.
That first touchdown that Mahomes threw to Byron Pringle looked like he was just like, looked like he was Carson Wentz in that thing. And it somehow ends up being a touchdown throw. And you're like, man, these guys are just, this isn't right. And just the arm talent that was on display between those two, everything had authority. Even their out pass, even the swing passes that those two guys throw have purpose.
Playmaking. With the legs, with the arms, they just make plays. They just do what needs to be done. What do I have to do? Across the field, go back the other way. That Pringle throw, that was a prayer, a complete prayer.
It was.
And it came down.
That was a Carson Wentz throw. He tried. It was not the way they drew that.
It wasn't left-handed.
No. That was a lucky throw, and it ended up not costing them, and he threw it right to the spot where nobody else was except for the guy who could have caught the ball. But, hey, good for them. It didn't cost them. But just your turnaround on Josh Allen these last few years.
It's been mighty impressive. He's unbelievable. He's just such a weapon. You can't do much to him. Like, you can't go he's got the Roethlisberger body, but he's got that mobility. Roethlisberger had the mobility early in his career, and he became a statue late. Maybe Allen will become a statue later as well. But right now, he's like Elway with size. I mean, what are you going to do? He's got the arm. He's got the mobility. And then you try to hit him, and you're like, ow, that hurts. what are you going to do to him? So, when he's
on. Some of those designed runs that he was going on, nobody wanted anything to do with him.
Hell no. Would you? Come on.
No.
No, it's sometimes it's not fair when he's out there. That's what sets him apart.
I can tell you, there wasn't many times that I would take off and run when we were playing in the street. But I'm a big guy. The few times I did take off and run, and if I put the shoulder down, I got a few Olays. I had a few guys that were playing against on defense who'd be like, no. They didn't want that shoulder put down at them. So I get what Josh Allen's dealing with, because when you're about 6'5" and, two something, he's bigger than the guys who are trying to tackle him once he gets into the second level.
And almost as fast as some of them.
Right. And Mahomes was running a lot, too. And he's not a small guy. And, it was a great game. Not taking anything
again, what else could they have done other than, put on rockets and lift it off into space? I don't know what else they could have possibly done for
it. I wished it hadn't gone to overtime. It felt like the overtime cheapened it to me a little bit.
I
would have felt a regular time, regulation win for either one of those teams, I think would have felt cleaner just because of what you talked about, that the Bills ended their season with a touchdown to take the lead.
Nothing else they could have done.
Last time Josh Allen threw a football, He got the lead over the Chiefs with 13 seconds left to go. That shouldn't be it.
That's supposed to win
game,
the game.
Any less memorable if that's the way it ended?
No, it's not less memorable. Now, if overtime went the way I would want overtime to go, because we both have everyone has a version or the way that they think overtime should be in the NFL. Everyone has a proposal now.
I think that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes should have fought to the death at the 50-yard line.
Be serious. You have actual overtime thoughts. You've had them for years.
Like the Thunderdome. One gets the chainsaw. The other one gets a sledgehammer. No. You know.
American Gladiators.
Yeah.
Both of them get big Q-tips. No, if overtime went the way that I would want overtime to go, which is like the NBA, which is you set
play
a certain
quarter.
Amount of time and just go, just play until it's over.
Correct. Play in the playoffs. You know what? The way they do it right now in the regular season, fine. But
for the playoffs.
Playoffs, man. Just play a full quarter. Just play another quarter and be done with it. Play another fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's tied, play another one.
Play another one. Yeah, I don't have to. It doesn't have to be 15 minutes for me. It can be 10 or 8 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I guess. Because the chances that one team goes on a 10-minute drive and
eats up the entire
warning
clock.
And yeah, you know what? Then, hey,
you deserve it. Exactly.
you earned it.
But,
you go
on
a 10-minute drive and kick a field goal. Great. I'm good with it. Yeah, no, I think that there's an answer to that for playoff football, you know. I mean, we talk about that. We always talk about 28-3. Hey, number one offense in the league never got to touch the ball in overtime.
That's a very good point. So, and in this game, I don't know about cheapen, but I will say that when I saw how shell-shocked and worn out the Bills' defense was when overtime started. Like, it was clear
that
they had
no chance.
Well,
yeah, they thought the game was over. Game over.
Yeah, mentally and physically, they were spent. They had nothing.
Right.
So.
And to the other side, you had to think that the Chiefs, the way they had looked like they had just lost the game on defense.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted to, yeah. You don't want that. A coin toss should not have determined the winner of that game.
I'll agree with that.
You know, and I guess since they've changed the overtime rules now, I guess the winner of the coin toss is winning at an 80% clip.
Right in the playoffs.
Just in general.
Uh-huh.
The winner of the coin toss, since with these new overtime rules, the winner of the coin toss is winning 80% of the time because they're either scoring a touchdown or if they get the field right. So the team that's losing the coin flip, doesn't matter whether you're home or away, because that doesn't, you know, if you're winning the coin flip, odds right now are you're winning at about an 80% rate. A coin flip should not be an 80-20 proposition.
That would defeat the purpose of coin flip.
The whole
flip.
Point of it being a coin flip?
Yeah. We both have solutions to the issue.
I like your idea. I mean, I ain't got nothing wrong with them. Maybe they don't play a full 15. Maybe they just play a fifth quarter, but somebody will win, you know, or it will be tied again at the end of it.
Yeah, that's a lot more satisfying finish to me than what that was on Sunday. Because the Bills' defense just were completely done. They were toast.
That's not saying that if somebody goes down and kicks a quick field goal, the other team doesn't kick a field goal right away. Oh, game over.
Right. No, I don't.
Kind of takes away a little bit of the strategy and the urgency. I'm fine with the rules in the regular season because you don't want to, player safety and all that, right? Don't prolong everything, you know. I'm fine with the ties. I'm fine with all that stuff. But the overtime rules for the playoffs, this game right here, again, you know, they changed it after, was it Peyton Manning?
He never got a chance to touch the ball.
Right. So I just don't know if this one's enough, right? Because this wasn't Brady. It was an exciting game. you know.
There's a lot of talk about it. There's a lot of heat about it on social media afterwards about, you know, Josh Allen never had a chance to touch the ball. So, no, it's not Brady or Manning, but there's a lot of talk. It feels like it's enough smoke to make them go in and do something about it in the offseason. And
yeah.
I don't know exactly what, but it's a lot of fire around that.
Okay. I would not be opposed to a change. A game
nice.
With a final, you know, with it just never, it doesn't feel like there's any finality when something like that happens. And you realize that just had the Bills won a coin flip, they very, very well may have just gone down and scored a touchdown because the Chiefs defense was shot to.
Yes. And the idea that Josh Allen takes an L for that performance is just ludicrous. Put in
yeah.
a situation where he does something to deserve to take the L, because right now he's still waiting. He's still standing there like,
yeah. 27 of 37 for 329 yards, 4 TDs, no picks. Take the L, son.
Loser.
I believe that's 9 touchdowns and no interceptions for Josh Allen in his 2 playoff games.
They got a punt like early in the first half, and it was news because they had a touchdown on every drive of their postseason up until that point because of all those touchdowns against New England to start the playoffs. Yeah, that team, losers, out.
If you are the Bills, though, Josh Allen can't be your leading rusher either. Although Patrick Mahomes was the leading rusher for the Chiefs, but they did get a little bit more out of their running game than the 41 yards that the Bills got that was not from Josh Allen.
They did.
So there's obviously
room
for improvement there.
That was just a duel between two guys who were determined to not lose that game. Like, that was just unbelievable.
Yeah. No, they were whipping it out the whole game, back and forth.
Oh, yeah? I'm going to show you what I got now. Yeah. I'm still breathless from the end of that thing.
Not going to get another one like that this playoffs. I don't think. I mean, maybe Mahomes and Burrow is the remedy. Because it could be.
I don't want to disrespect Joe Burrow and say that I can't imagine him playing a game like Josh Allen did last week. I don't want to say that. Because if I say that,
it'll happen.
Disrespecting us. I'm not going to go there. We'll enjoy the conference title games tomorrow, and we'll leave it at that. I'm not going to throw any fuel on anyone's fire, even though nobody's listening.
That's true. So, all right. Well, I gave it my all.
No, you gave me 90 minutes, which is what I originally had the show scheduled for, so it all worked out in the end. And thank
you
for
that effort. If you had scheduled the show
for
90 full minutes, then we would have done the picks at the 85-minute mark instead.
Of course.
So.
Oh, man. As you can imagine, I had a whole bunch of notes for each pick.
Oh, you probably had stats and everything here.
I did. I had
which
all these.
Which is funny, because we both just end up agreeing on them.
Right. I would have went through 10 minutes of breakdown to get to the exact same conclusion that you've had. So. But there's our picks. Both the favorites. We both go chalk. But I don't think either one of us would be surprised at the Bengals or the Niners pull a shocker, because that's what they've been doing all year.
I'd only be surprised if they both do. Then I'll be surprised.
No, I don't think I'm surprised by either of the four teams. Honestly, that's how impressed I've been by the Bengals and the Niners, just sort of finding a way and making a way. If either one of them find a way, or if they both find a way to the Super Bowl, I would be okay. I would just slow clap and say, yeah, that they never say die. They were scrappy all year, and that's exactly what they did to make it to the Super Bowl.
I will say that if the Bengals or the Niners make the Super Bowl, they've earned it. You can't take anything away from either one of those teams if they get there, because they'll have both defeated the one seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bengals will have also then beaten the Rams, who knocked out Tommy. And the Bengals would have taken out the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, no. You can't say anything against Cincinnati if they end up knocking off the one and the two. And then,
certainly.
The Niners, if the Niners get through the Packers and they get through their hated division rival, who is massively more talented than them on paper. Yeah.
But
you
can't
just
beat
the
them.
Hat. You just,
Rams
yeah.
might be more talented, but they can't beat the Niners.
They can't beat the
just
Niners. They're
it.
In their heads.
That's right. Now, the funniest part about the in-your-head thing was the Niners were losing 17-0 to the Rams the last game they played.
Yeah.
I understand the Niners came back and won, but if you're in someone's head, you don't let them get up 17-0 on you. That's not how that works. So.
Yeah. No, that's correct.
It's a nice theory and nice something to throw out in talking point all week, but no.
But the first time they played, the Niners whipped them.
Yeah, they did. But the Rams came back and were whipping up on them and just lost it late. But, yeah, I don't think there's anything to the whole being in his head thing. But I'm still definitely looking forward to the game just for the two minds sort of battling against each other and figuring out the chess pieces and putting them in the right place. I've got very high expectations for that one. And as far as the Chiefs go, just use your speed. Just you're faster than everybody else. Just use your damn speed.
Yeah, don't have to be cute.
No.
Just be better than
them. Don't have to be too cute. Exactly.
The Bengals are a nice story. But the Chiefs are clearly the better team. And they look healthy finally.
Exactly. That's the big key. Cheetah is healthy and fast, and Mahomes is healthy and able to protect himself and able to run around and break the pocket if he has to. That when that team is at its best and healthy, yeah. I don't know who can touch them.
Well, I'm gonna go to bed.
Yeah, you did more than
that. Yeah, there's one thing I feel like I just can't get enough sleep right now.
Sure.
Yeah, so.
You're still battling, still recovering. I get it.
Allegedly, there's a show next Sunday. I'll let you know, because I know I told you I'm going to be out of town on Saturday and Sunday. That's still the plan. So as long as we're home at a decent enough hour that I can get all my thoughts collected for honors and dishonors, I'll be there. Otherwise, I'll let you know and probably end up, we can move it to Monday. But that would be the latest I would do it, would be Monday if it doesn't work for Sunday.
Okay.
But for now, that's stuff I can put together this week too, to get ready for it. So, although I'm very, last minute kind of thing. Like, I already have all the awards. It's just taking the time to, write it down. I usually just end up putting it all together right before the show. So I've got this stuff all in my head all year. It's crazy.
All right.
So
I got my notes here. Keeping up.
Especially because my categories don't change.
Right.
So.
Yeah, mine's are, kind of coming to me as the year goes on. Then I have to go back and make sure I didn't miss any
right.
news items and whatnot. So it's a little more work that goes into it for me, but we both get ready in our own ways, and I'll be ready next weekend, next Sunday, and I'll schedule the show for next Sunday, and if it has to be changed, it'll be Monday.
Yeah,
but
I would say Sunday. Yeah, I would expect by for probably the Sunday at 9, normal time.
Yeah,
honors and dishonors. It'll be fun. It's always a good show.
Always, yeah.
I always appreciate those shows because. We don't have a crack production staff, and we will both pull out things that the other one forgot about or that the other one never even knew about. And those are always the fun ones for me. Like sometimes there's a story or something that I see or something that comes up. I kind of just file away, then all of a sudden it comes out for honors and dishonors or for a Hall of Infamy. And you're like, didn't know you were paying attention to that. Yeah, those are always fun ones when we sneak ones threw on the other, or something happened that we didn't quite ever really touch on the show, but then it shows up in an award. Those are fun.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's why I look forward to it so much, because we definitely get a chance to recap. That's the whole point. As we say, we recap and touch on and highlight the things that the league doesn't necessarily want you to remember. Don't want you to think about any, you know, we're going to have a lot of Raiders on the show for me, as far as I'm concerned. I can give that part away right now.
Don't think the league wants you to think about the Raiders. The Chiefs got cut. You see that? DUI? Assault with a deadly weapon?
Ooh.
This kid that the Raiders drafted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and,
Arnett.
Yeah, Arnett. And then the Chiefs had him on their squad, and then they just, like, oh, nope.
We took a chance.
They took a chance.
We didn't pay attention to the character part. We're going to give you another chance, going to bring you in, and oh, look, you're going to show us the exact same character that you had when you were with the Raiders. So, yeah, the Chiefs learned the hard way.
I just think it's funny that when Mike Mayock and John Gruden took over there, about how they were all about these, like, high character guys.
We're going to change the culture. Don't think you guys changed much of the culture there.
Yeah.
No, everyone says that when they come in. We're going to change the culture. We're
going
to get a new
culture.
We're going after
all these high character guys.
Right. Maybe they've been hijinks, like a lot of characters. Like, yee-hee! I don't know. It's late for me, too.
All right. We don't want to give away too much for our show next week, because this is the kind of stuff we talk about. Any thoughts on the Hall of Fame for baseball? Because that's a joke.
Yeah, the same thoughts that I've always had.
One guy.
Spouse, which is.
One guy got in.
Which is any Hall of Fame that looks at the you know, most Cy Youngs of all time and the most home runs, and they're not in. But yeah, you play DH your whole life and smile. Yeah, you're in. That's
fine. I don't care how many asterisks you got to put after Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds names. Don't care. They are Hall of Famers.
To pretend like they didn't play is so.
By its very name.
Can't get more famous.
Hall of Fame. This is why we have one. Because we are sticking our thumb in their eye. Talk about fame. Because fame is not always something glorious or great, right? Fame can be bad. But,
Hall of Infamy.
That's the Hall of Infamy. That's why you can't tell me that those two guys aren't Hall of Famers. Come on. What a joke.
It's a complete joke.
And now they're ineligible, so now they can be in our Hall of Fame.
They could be. I'm not going to do it because they're going to be in one day. I don't know if we're going to be alive for it, but they're going to be in the Hall of Fame
like
one
Pete
day.
Rose.
All these...
oh, they're waiting for Pete Rose to die. Then they're going to put him in.
Yes, he'll be in one day. He'll be long dead when it happens. That's true. But all these old sports writers that are keeping Bonds and Clemens and even Sosa and McGuire, who I think are also Hall of Famers, all those old guys are dying off slowly too, which brings up the point of that I saw some columnists point out that they basically changed the rules of eligibility for almost looking for this day that Bonds and Clemens were going to keep gaining votes and keep gaining momentum towards the Hall of Fame because every year, you know, the voting body gets younger and younger, and the younger people that come in are going to be like, oh, this is stupid. Of course they're Hall of Famers. But it used to be 15 years, as we both know, that you could be on the ballot. And now it's 10, because if you gave them 15, they probably would have made it. So it's almost like they changed it just for this, so looking ahead and looking at this day. And
this is so stupid, because if you need teen years of voting to get into the Hall of Fame, you're not a Hall of Famer.
Probably not a Hall of Famer. all respect to the guys
everybody
that got
gets
in.
To come up
their...
once. That's what it should be.
Hall of Fame, yay or nay.
5 years after you retire, you are on the ballot. You are in or you are out. That's it. You don't get to keep trying over and over and over and over again.
You're gonna.
Well, he's at 68% now, so he's almost there. What do you mean? What's gonna change?
So you're gonna make me reference the NFL and their mandatory five guys for every
everybody
year for the Hall of Fame. So
everybody
eventually
gets it. Plus that guy who had two tackles in the 1947 championship game. They're all
everybody
in.
Eventually is gonna get
you
in.
You get in. It's like Oprah. I don't know. They're both stupid. They're both stupid. That's why we make fun of this all the time. But I knew I'd get a laugh out of you bringing up the Big Poppy thing. He's a Hall of Famer. That Barry Bonds, though.
Sure. No. The Poppy it smiled a lot. Poppy, here's the worst part about it. Poppy has PED history as well. Didn't he fail that test, that anonymous test? But we're going to ignore that because he's Poppy and he smiles and he talks about this is our fucking city and we love Poppy. That's the whole thing. It's all about who we like and who we're friends with.
No,
it's all it's about.
And one guy, you tell me I didn't see who the list was, but I guarantee you I could look at that list and find more than one guy.
Bonds and Clemens right off the top. Again,
those two,
if they're not in, the rest of it is a complete joke. I don't even like
one
of them.
Just put them in. You don't even have to have a ceremony. Just put them in.
They
don't have to
have
a speech.
They're obviously in.
Just put them in.
Instant rule. No matter what you did, if you're the number one in one of the major categories of all time, you're in. Top home run hitter, top hits leader, automatic in. No matter what you did. Top wins leader, top saves, top everything. If you're number one on that, you're just in. We don't have to have a ballot.
Barry Bonds is a Hall of Famer before the juice.
Right.
So was Clemens.
You have three MVPs of the Pirates before he gained 50 pounds of muscle. Three of them. So ridiculous.
And Roger Clemens, too. Sure. I mean, he was modern day sort of like Nolan Ryan.
Right, I was about to say, I can't really even tell when Clemens was supposed to start juicing because he kind of came up as a big-ass Texan with a square head and big-ass thighs and just mowing you down. Yeah, he kind of didn't change.
You end up hearing a lot of things about these guys with the juicing where it became more of like a recovery thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or coming back from an injury or something like that. So I think for Clemens it was probably more of it led to the length of the career.
Right, he was able to get back on the mound after some of the.
But
injuries.
I'm not of the opinion that Roger Clemens was just juicing the whole time. I don't get that sense.
No, he was just born a big ass Texan. That's he was just born with a lot of that.
But if it was like managing fatigue, or like I said, bouncing back, or just keeping on the muscle without having to put in all the work, being lazy, cutting corners. But if it was from an era of baseball when everybody was doing, it's not like those were the two guys doing it. Nobody else was doing it, so keep them out.
Yeah, they were pretty good even before that, and they were you're right. There's a whole lot of guys in their locker rooms that were also doing it, and they weren't putting up the numbers that those two were.
No,
putting up.
No, there were other guys. This is why. Oh my God, what was Brady Anderson? That's why he's not in the Hall of Fame.
That is still the funniest. You go down a list of his years for home runs, and you got 2, 3, 12, 13, 50. 50. Like, come on. Can you possibly get more obvious?
Yeah. Right. All right. Now I'm done.
Now
I'm done.
44 minutes. I keep stringing you along here.
No. Now I'm feeling it, so now I'm done.
Okay.
I'm actually starting to cloud up, feeling as I'm gonna have to start coughing and sneezing. I don't want to be dealing with that. So I said it 20 minutes ago. I'm really mean it this time. I'm going to bed.
Okay. Wish your wife and your kids best wishes from me and get better and glad you guys are turning the corner and starting to get over this shit.
It was a miserable week. It was a miserable week. It just did. I made sure that I got the goop in between shows. See what I did there for the show.
Oh, okay.
So
So you pulled a Sarah Palin? Is that what you're telling me? You went out and got it on purpose and spread it around everybody?
I made sure that if I was going to get the goop, I was going to get it on my terms, and I was going to get it in between shows, so I didn't ruin any of our shows, you know.
Okay. John Wayne.
The government in Burkina Faso collapsed.
Oh, so I saw that.
I think about three quarters, half of our listenership's probably gone now.
Shout out to Burkina Faso, whoever's still alive. Best wishes, and hopefully.
Yeah, we hope you're enjoying military coup.
Right. Hope you're enjoying our show from your jail cell or whatever happened over there.
With all of your Bills Super Bowl champion T-shirts.
Yes. Oh, God. We're terrible. Okay. Now you're really, really done?
Now I'm done. I'm turning off my mic. Good night.
and there he goes. So Jay, recovering from the goop, gave us an hour and 46 minutes of content, which is a lot more than I thought he was going to and that he thought he was going to. But once we get rolling, that's what happens. And if you like our brand of humor and the way we get rolling, then definitely come back next weekend for our honors and dishonors show. If you don't know what that is, that's simply, hey, NFL has their honors show where they give out their MVPs and their rookie of the year and their coach of the year, and they talk all glowingly about each other and all of that good stuff. If you like that, if you're into that, that's great. We do it a little differently around here at IMLD. We have what we call our honors and dishonors. So we'll give out some positive awards. We'll talk about our players that we liked, our MVPs, our guys who we thought were the shit or the drizzling shits. And that's the dishonors part. We also talk about the worst players, the worst decisions. We touched on that a little bit with the Raiders, and boy, oh boy, what a year they had. Some of the things that the NFL would not necessarily want you to remember, we will bring them back and we will let you remember them and remind you in some cases of some of those things. That's what we do. We like to go back and look back on the year and really give a spotlight to the things that everybody should remember and think about, not just the good stuff, but some of the more entertaining things as well, some of the bad things, as now my voice starts to go a little bit. So, Jay, again, thank you for fostering through and fighting through and coming on and doing the conference finals show. 2022 NFC and AFC finals for the right to go to the Super Duper Bowl. We will see how that turns out tomorrow. High expectations after last weekend. We'll see if these two games can possibly live up to the hype. All right. He was Jay. I am Dre. This has been, in much less detail, the podcast. Thank you all for listening, especially in Burkina Faso. Best wishes to all of you out there. And we'll be back next week. Conference title games coming up tomorrow. Honors and dishonors coming up next week, either Sunday or Monday. And we will talk to you then. Yeah!